Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banco BPM 9-month 2019 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roberto Peronaglio, IR Manager. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for attending the conference on the result of the quarter of Banco BPM. Let me, before leaving the floor to our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Castagna, I remind you that the question and answer section is reserved only for the financial analysts, and you can find the presentation on our website in the investor relations section. Thank you, and I leave the word to Mr. Castagna.
Good evening, everybody, also on my side. Thank you for being with us for the Q3 presentation. I would say, starting from page 5, quite a solid performance in all 9 months, and especially in this Q3, confirming good achievements in business operation and in the reduction of the risk profile of the bank. Operating profitability is going up 7%, thanks especially to lowering cost, operating cost, and with a good performance in revenues, driven from commission rather than NII. Customer volumes are still growing, both in loans and in deposit. We are up 1.7 in deposit in the quarter and 7.3 since the beginning of the year, and 1% in the quarter for core performance loans and 4% since the beginning of the year. The risk profile is still bettering. Gross NP and net NP are going down to 9.4% and 5.6%. As you know, we are going down organically without doing any massive transaction. The coverage is going basically up, especially in UTP coverage is growing 150 basis points to 37%. Meanwhile, Texas ratio is going down 60% to 58.1%. On page six, again on the balance sheet side, the loan-to-deposit ratio is bettering. The share of deposit, as I mentioned before, is growing to 82% from 80%. The liquidity position is even better, to up to 170% for LCR, higher than 100% for NSFR. A very good, I would say an excellent performance on the Govis portfolio, which make an evidence, we already talked about that in the second quarter. The third quarter is even better, with a reserve in fair value for more than 250 million and unrealized gains in amortized cost up to 860 million, which of course don't go neither into profit and loss nor in the Common Equity Tier 1, but would represent an equivalent of 140 basis points in terms of potential incremental Common Equity Tier 1. The capital position, therefore, is good. We are growing in terms of Common Equity Tier 1 to 12.1% from 11.9% and stable at 13.8% in Common Equity Tier 1 phase-in. This is notwithstanding a marginal conservatism, which I will talk later on when we will comment on common equity, which accounts for almost 40 basis points already included into this number. We would like also to present what normally is already in the balance sheet under the IAS scheme, the comprehensive profitability, which shows the creation of value not only in terms of profit and loss, but also including the different issue which are not directly accounting the profit and loss. Likewise, for instance, the fair value in the govies. If we consider the comprehensive profitability in 9 months, we are up to 970 million of results, of which again 686 are the profit and loss results, and 271 the difference on other income. All these, again, without considering the unrealized gains on the govies, which I mentioned is more than 800 million. A quick look to the quarterly performance, both the stated one and the adjusted. Basically, there is no major difference between the two, rather than the extraordinary gain of 336 million in the Q2 related to the Agos transaction and disposal of the NPL platform. As far as the other numbers are concerned, you can see that we went down 2.9% in NII, 2% in commission, a much better net financial results due to the good performance in the especially from the finance, and the total income, which amount exactly the same number, 0.2 more than the Q2. Operating costs went down 3.6% on the stated figure and 1.1% on the adjusted, with profit from operation up 2.4% in the PLL adjusted. LLP provision went up to 208 million. With a pre-tax profit of 168 million and a net income of 96.2 million, which in the stated version is 93.3 million. The total profitability for the entire 9 months is up to 686 million in the stated account and 387 million as far as the adjusted PLN is concerned. Let's remember that in Q3, likewise in Q1, we have also the systemic charge with the extraordinary contribution to SSM and the guarantee scheme. The results of this quarter can allow us to confirm the expected adjusted EPS of in the region of 30 cents per share. Let's go to the different items. Net interest income, as I was mentioning before, is down 2.8%. As you can see, the difference comes basically all from the Euribor, reduction of the Euribor, which accounts for 15 million negative. Spread effects is 3 million negative. Meanwhile, the calendar, one day more, and the volume effects accounts for 7 million positive. Then we have 3 million deconsolidation for the ProFamily captive business, 4.5 million related to the de-risking, and 4 million positive from the financial activities. You can see the spread on the lower part of the slide, which is down the asset spread from 1.87 to 1.85. The customer spread is down 9 basis points, mostly due to the reduction of 7 basis points of the Euribor from 0.32 to 0.39. Of course, the global results, especially if you see the previous year figure, 2018, is very much impacted by the reduction, by the de-risking that we had during last year. Like for like, we have 210 million less of NII contribution from PPA, IFRS 9, and UTP deconsolidation. Let's have a look to the new portfolio, which is, I think, quite encouraging. We were able to maintain the pace of the first two quarters, with 5 billion per quarter. We are up to 15.3 million of new production, 3.1% more than last year. Let me remember that last year we had some giant transaction, likewise Atlantia during the Q3, which didn't happen this year. And let me also stress that this is coming for our bank both from household growth and corporate, almost 3% each. It's quite interesting to have a look to the right side of the slide, in which we try to give you the sense of the increase of the rates we are having on new production. So the production is done normally at 17 basis points higher for large and mid corporates related to last year, and 4 basis points higher for small corporate. This is not because small corporates pay less or accept less increase in spread, but because we started with a new pricing project, which started before 6 months ago for mid and large corporates, only 2 months ago for small business. We are quite confident that we can reach better figure quite soon, both for corporates and small corporates. Let me say that this increase in all-in rates comes also considering, notwithstanding, the reduction, or average reduction of 2 basis points of Euribor. Again, the volume of the balance sheet up 4% for loans and almost 7% for deposit. You have the different distribution for different mortgages and current accounts and other loans. Everything is growing mostly at the same pace. I have to say that, of course, in terms of total spread, what we are achieving is much better with the corporates rather than households. As you know, in residential mortgage, the competition is quite tight. Let's go to the funding side of the balance sheet. We have experienced during these 9 months many issues on the wholesale market of every type of instrument, from senior to 81 to Tier 2, which was the recent transaction we did beginning of the October. Likewise, we did another senior transaction at end of October. So we have completely replaced the 1.7 billion already matured in 2019 with the global issuing of 2.4 billion during these first 10 months. The average rates and spreads, you can see on the lower right side of the slides that we are succeeding in having spreads much lower and rates much lower than the one who are maturing. As you can see, the average rates for the 1.7 billion average was 3.8%. Meanwhile, the new senior issue were an average of 2.1%, and likewise for the spread. The cake of the bond funding composition is quite, I would say, evenly split between covered bonds, senior, with a good tranche also now of subordinated up to 18%. Subordinated are now up to 3.1 billion. 1.5 billion are not included in own fund phase-in, but represent MREL eligible funding, so they are still working in terms of MREL. And of course, these figures still exclude the 350 million issued that we had of T2 in October. Let's go to commission on page 13. Net fees and commission up vis-à-vis the first quarter down 2% vis-à-vis the second quarter. As you know, there is a seasonality in the third quarter for August, but notwithstanding that, you can see on the right side of the slide a new presentation that we have done expressly to show that the investment product fees is growing quarter by quarter, also in Q3 vis-à-vis Q1 and Q2, plus 7% versus Q1, plus 1% versus Q2, and we are still growing also during the last quarter. The distribution between running and upfront shows that the margin, which is more increasing, comes from running fees. Another way of shows this increase in investment product is on page 14. You can see that Q3 18, we had 300 million of higher production, which is again the best quarter in the first three quarter of 19, with a solid recovery in upfront fees up to 17% of the total net fees and commission production, with an average profitability of 2.1%. I have to say that as we announced also in Q1, after the new approach in 2018 of the change in the advisory by portfolio rather than advisory by product, we finally eventually reached a good pace of performance, which from nowadays I think can only show better results from our network, also because the increase in current account and deposit give us an enormous reserve of potential conversion into asset under management from current accounts. You can see on page 15 that up to now we have grown only 2 billion from the beginning of the year, but I am sure that this can be the real trend that is going up during the next few quarters. Net financial results, again, a very satisfactory result of 41 million during the Q3. Again, the 225 million of contribution to the capital position from reserve on govies on fair value, on securities on fair value. Meanwhile, as I mentioned before, is not included nor in P&L, neither in the capital position, the 860 million of equivalent unrealized gains of 140 basis points in Common Equity Tier 1. Another slide on page 17 about the composition of our debt securities portfolio is Italian govies are down to 19.3 billion, 56% of the total debt securities, which amount to 34 billion. As you can see on the left down left side, fair value is 12.6 billion, 37%. Amortized cost is 18 billion, representing 52% of the govies of the securities. Very sound again liquidity position, 21 billion of unencumbered eligible asset, 95% of which represented by high quality govies. I would skip page 18. I can only mention that the duration of govies at fair value is very short, is 2.4 years. Meanwhile, we have a duration of 4 years as far as the amortized cost govies are concerned. Let's go to the cost side. Total operating costs were down 3% compared to first quarter, 3.6% compared to second quarter, 1.1% excluding one-off, basically in all the three different components of operating cost. Staff cost is going down 2.4% since first quarter, 0.6 in second quarter. Administrative costs down 5% and 2.10% respectively, and depreciation and amortization also down 2% and 19% since the first and second quarter. Let's examine also this reduction in operating cost with a more long view. If we go back to the first 9 months of 2017, which was the first year of the business plan, and the first 9 months of 2018 compared to today, we have a reduction of more than 207 million, which annualized means something in the region 270 million. If we compare the annualized results, forecast results of 2019 with the starting point of the business plan, as you can see, the savings account to 420 million. This comes through, of course, a much bigger evolution of the reduction of the headcount, which were down 3,120 persons. As you know, only two-thirds of these out of the exit scheme. The retail network evolution also was down 700 branches. Let's pass to asset quality. Here we have the reduction both gross and net in the NPE stock. We have also the comparison with the equivalent data of 2018, September 18. Of course, then we had the massive ACE transaction, which of course is 43% down, but also if you consider the reduction from the first quarter, from December 18, we have a reduction of 11.4% gross and the same amount net, and 2% gross and 4% net Q3 on Q2. So there is a progressive reduction which would bring us to a safe figure in this ratio without spending more than we are able to recover with our workout activity. NP ratios were down to 9.4 gross and 5.6 net, down 0.3 from the previous quarter. As you know, the bad loan ratio are still at a very low level, 3% gross, 1.4 net, and all our effort, of course, are much more dedicated to the UTP reduction rather than these remaining bad loans. And this also explains why we increased the coverage of UTP up to 37% for 35.5%. On page 22, another very good news is a consistent good pace in reduction of net flows to NPE in the region 9 months on 9 months of 13%. 5% quarter on quarter, but especially the transition from UTP to bad loans is down both year on year and quarter on quarter more than 30%. Cost of credit again is 208 million in line with our guidance of 69 basis points during these first 9 months, especially due to the increase of the coverage of UTP. Another slide on page 23 on UTP. This is mostly to see the pace that we had since the merger in UTP coverage, even though our effort, as you know, were much more dedicated to bad loans. We increased 10 full points since the beginning of 2017 in terms of coverage of UTP, which is now up to 37%. The analysis of the UTP portfolio is 6.9 billion, 2.6 are the coverage, net 4.4 billion, of which only 1.3 billion are unsecured. I have to say that the portion unsecured and not under restructuring, so not linked to ongoing position which are currently on a restructuring plan, normally paying installments and interest, is only 0.4 billion. The coverage for unsecured 52%, for secured 28%. On the upper side of these slides, you can also see how we were able to offset the inflows since the beginning, since 2017, which you see in the red box, in the red histogram, with the major volume year by year of workout in UTP. In the first year, we had 1.4 billion of inflows and 1.7 billion of workout. In the second, 1.4 and 1.6 of workout. This year, in the first 9 months, we're having 700 million of inflows, 800 million of workout. The capital position, rightly enough, we reached after 11 quarters since the merger, finally, not anymore a pro forma position, but a stated one. As you know, we were quarter by quarter incurring the transaction that we were closing during the quarter, but which would have had effect on capital in the next quarters. Nowadays, we are on a normal situation, and we can see that the final figure are quite satisfying. We have 13.8% of phasing capital ratio and 12.1% fully loaded capital ratios. Let me spend some a minute to explain this 40 basis points of negative impact on the margin of conservatism, which is related to the time series updated. This is something that, frankly speaking, we didn't expect. Comes after the request that we made to ECB for the update of the model for IRB. We were quite confident that being under review of the model since our application that was done in August, as I mentioned during the Q2 conference call, we would have been asked to update the old historical series, having done the work, of course, for the new model. As a matter of fact, ECB asked us to update also the old historical series. We were not in the position to update the historical series by this quarter, as it was asked by ECB. So we decided to apply the very conservative margin of conservatism in order to give more room for the exercise that will be completed by this quarter, and of course will be an impact which will be offset at the end of the validation, most probably by the first half of 2020. So is a real consistent marginal conservatism, which we hope can be can increase the buffer for further potential headwind. Let me remember that this year we passed from a stated Common Equity Tier 1 at 10% in December 18 to 12.1% this year, this quarter, notwithstanding 70 basis points of headwind that we had to bear due to the different TRIM, this margin of conservatism, and IAS 16. So this is also for showing the ability of the bank to face this potential regulatory request with capital generation and also with organic generation. Let's only mention that this year, stated, we performed up to now in 9 months an organic capital generation of 2.7%, 1.2 out of the capital management action, 1.5% through capital generation, organic capital generation. So we are really happy of these results. We feel confident that we can confirm that 12% is now the result that we wanted to reach, and we succeeded basically some months ago the expected results. Final slide, I would say that with this quarter we have really reached and confirmed the positive trend in investment product fees. We have a cost still under strict control. We are continuing our organic de-risking process. We are quite to a normalized cost of risk. We have had an excellent performance in reserves and unrealized gains in debt securities, and we are strengthening. We were able to strengthen even more our capital position, creating some potential buffer also for 2020. Let me confirm, as I already mentioned in Q2, that we confirm our adjusted EPS estimation of 30 cents for full year 2019, and I can also say that we are on track for a possible dividend distribution for 2019.
Excuse me, are you ready for the question?
Yes.